Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up. Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, and welcome to Wretched. My name is Todd Friel, your host, and Wretch, the song refers to. If you are trying to discover what it looks like to be a biblical man, you have come to the right place. No, silly rabbit, not because I'm here, but Dr. John Kratz is. Dr. John Kratz, Schapsburg, that's how you say it, right? Schapsburg, kind of dull the R in a southern kind of way. Schapsburg. That's not the way you say it?
It's just south of Atlanta, yeah.
Near the airport. It's near the airport. But people here near the airport, Schapsburg isn't, like, dangerous.
No, no. We're a half hour south
of the airport. So you're not that close to the airport.
No.
Because, you know, that's the thing about our airport. You got to fill up the gas tank to return a car, but it's like, yikes.
Yeah,
it's a little risky. So then you got to do it further out, but then you're not on full by the time you get there. It's all a conspiracy.
It could be.
I think this has something to do with 9/11. But the point is, you've written actually two books on how to be godly men. Mm. One of which is your first book ever, Mighty Men. What is the biblical definition of a mighty man?
Well, I think just a man that's seeking to be a godly man and taking responsibility for his life and the life of his wife and his kids, if the Lord has given them to him.
That sounded too easy. It sounded really simple. Just be a godly. And it almost sounded a little Sunday school-ish.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, be a godly man.
I like Sunday school.
It's like, well, here it is. Just, you know, try to be a godly man. But that's a big statement. I mean, that's a massive statement. So unpack that a little bit. How does a man go about the process of being a godly man, and including to single men who aren't married yet?
Well, I think that before you can lead others, you have to lead yourself in the sense of taking responsibility. And so there's a lot of guys that are passive. They're just waiting to see what happens in life. But I think that God wants us to be active, to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, which means to take advantage of the opportunities the Lord has given us to grow, to become more like Jesus, to be a man of the Bible, a man of prayer, a man of the church. And, you know, using the spiritual disciplines that the Spirit uses to make us more like Jesus.
Here's, I think, you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I'm not, because I'm a talk show host, that a lot of young men aren't persuaded of what you just said, because the world is pulling them to play, have fun, stay young.
Yes.
Don't let the cares of the world drag you down. You're describing something radically different. Help the young man who is not persuaded that becoming a godly man is the best path he can take.
Well, it is a command in the scripture that we would discipline ourselves for godliness. It is the call of Jesus is not just a call to believe some facts about Jesus and go on playing your video games. The call of Jesus is to deny yourself, take up your cross, and to follow him. And so the more we know about Christ, the more we should be living for him. I remember growing up in church in Virginia, and I knew the Sunday school answers because I've been in Sunday school a long time. Mm-hmm. And I thought when I became old, I would live for Jesus too, because that was the only people in my church that were really living for Christ. And I remember when I was 16, hearing the gospel in a fresh way, and I thought, wait, I believe this. Jesus really did rise from the dead. I should be living for him now.
Right.
And I think that's when God saved me, even though I grew up in church with a wonderful Christian family. But that was a great turning point for me. And I think young guys need to catch that same vision. Jesus is alive from the dead. This life is short. Eternity is forever. We should be living for him.
And the things that godliness cultivates are the things the world would rather not talk about because they're not interested in those things. The world typically loves to lure our flesh to do fun things, whatever those things might illicit or otherwise. But Jesus comes along and says, no, I've got a different offering for you, that you'd become a man who is trustworthy and a man who is reliable, a man who is looked upon, a man who is gone to, a man who's given greater responsibility. Those are profoundly different things than score a certain on your video game, right, or taking a trip, or only working 3 days a week, whatever it is. These things are the weighty things, the big things, and I think it's helpful for young men to consider which things ultimately do you want.
Right.
Do you want to cultivate? Because these things are way more valuable.
Yeah, and I think it was Jonathan Edwards that said we needed to stamp eternity on our eyeballs to look at life through the lens of eternity. And if you just add 10,000 years, how is your video game score going to matter 10,000 years from now?
Right.
But if you had a spiritual impact in the life of a woman, in the life of children that were raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and then launched out into the world, I mean, that has a rippling effect.
And those are profound things.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are loftier things. And I don't think, I was still a knucklehead, so I shouldn't even talk about it past tense. But those things, nobody ever helped me to like just stop and think for a moment.
Right.
What kind of a man do you want to be?
Right.
Self-centered, self-absorbed, fun, or doing bigger things that have eternal impact?
Right. Well, when you think of the difference between wisdom and foolishness in Proverbs.
That's your next book.
I know.
All right.
But it's
a Nabal versus a Chacham.
Ah, nice.
Thank you. I read it.
Good. But one characteristic of the fool is he's living for right now. What feels good? What is good? What, you know, doesn't have a concern at all for tomorrow or the future?
Right.
The wise man is living in light of God, but living in light of the future.
Right. You know what else might help is spending more time at funerals. And at deathbeds.
That's right.
You learn more there than you do in the house of rejoicing.
That's right.
That you start to perhaps realize, okay, wait, there are deeper things that I'm intended to experience.
That's right. Some people say that you should think about your funeral. Think about what you would want said about you at your funeral.
Yeah.
John scored this on the game, you know.
Right.
Wow, that's...
Went to the Caribbean 6 times.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, not necessarily bad stuff.
No.
Except for the video game stuff. But not necessarily bad stuff, but they're not big things. They're trite.
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Your legacy is a feather pillow that's been opened up and all the feathers are going into the wind.
Right.
Instead of...
I think you're confusing your illustration.
Sorry.
That's when you gossip and you do the feather pillow.
That's true.
Which word sounds better to you? Nabal or Chacham? Probably neither, but there is one of those words that is indeed worthy of your pursuit if you are a Christian man. What is the biblical definition of wisdom? Because I think most people are going to be a little bit surprised.
Well, really, the idea is craftsmanship. And so when you think of the craftsman, the skilled woodworker or things like that, you think of somebody who has incredible skill in the details of woodwork, perhaps. And so a wise man is one who has skill in living, and we live to the glory of God.
The Hebrew word for wisdom, two examples that you give in your book would be the skilled craftsmen of the temple and those who were tailors, made clothing.
Right.
And the priest's garment. They had skills in making something that is enduring. Mm-hmm. That's what it means to be wise.
Right. In contrast to that thought that we need to climb the hill and talk to the guru who speaks in riddles,
right,
or something like that. Right. No, it's about
real life.
It's real life.
That's I think really liberating. Because look, some of us, we can't sit and quote fortune cookies, you know, but it's about doing life, having a life that's orderly, put together. Mm-hmm. It's not chaotic, you know, as much as can be avoided considering sin, but it's just doing life well, including family. So I want to jump back with that thought.
Okay.
To this book about being a mighty man in the home. Now, this is for a married man. Mm-hmm. How does a young married man become wise? What are the things that he needs to do to be exhibiting wisdom with his family?
Well, the very first thing is his own walk with God. It sounds basic, but it really is vital. You can't just skip that part and start doing step 1, 2, 3, 4,
right,
and be a godly spiritual leader. It's got to come from your heart, which means your own walk with God.
Striving to be a godly man. How to do that and not be a Nabal. Next on Wretched.
You know, you can love the Lord with absolutely everything in you and still go mute when somebody asks you, how do you even know the Bible is true? You feel the answer deep down, you just can't put it into words. The reasons go deeper than most of us were ever even shown. Skeptics know that too. That's why they start in Genesis and then they work backward. Because if you crack the foundation, then everything built on top of it will start to wobble. But when you trace the logic and the morality and the science all the way down, you find the very same thing every single time. Reality only makes sense if the Bible is true. And Dr. Jason Lyle has spent his entire career studying the universe. And in his new series, Irrefutable Proof of Creation, he asks the hard questions about God and turns doubt into confidence. Irrefutable Proof of Creation is streaming right now on Fortis Plus with new episodes dropping every week. Download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire. Sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, there's no shortage of voices telling women how to handle anxiety, how to navigate relationships, how to find their identity. Honestly, most of it sounds pretty good until you realize it's just self-help slapped with Bible verses. That's not the same thing as biblical wisdom. And that's why we at Fortis Institute present to you The Better Way with Libby Glosson. Libby is an ACBC certified biblical counselor, and she's not just interested in giving you coping strategies. No, Libby's desire is to take you to scripture and show you what God actually says about the things that you're actually walking through. And this is the kind of content our gospel partners are making possible. If the content we're producing at Fortis Institute has been meaningful to you, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like for you to be a part of getting content like The Better Way into the hands of women who need it. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 1678. John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress is published. Written while Bunyan was in prison for preaching the gospel, this allegorical tale of the Christian life becomes second in international circulation, exceeded only by the Bible.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched. Can you be a mighty man without being patriarchal? Dr. John Krotz, author of two helpful books for not just young men, all men, really, Mighty Men and Craftsmen.
I think taking initiative to lead your family, really leadership in the home is taking responsibility. So I think I've got three daughters. And when I think about the guys that would marry, my two oldest ones are married already. The things I was looking for in this guy was a sense of responsibility. Are you walking with God and a man on a mission? And are you able to care for this precious woman and have her help you to fulfill the mission God has put before
you? Spend a moment there, because some people would bristle perhaps at like a dad assessing the potential husband. That's not the bristling part I'm talking about, although that makes some people bristle. But it's a young man, you said, has, you know, kind of a mission and a vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's a young man who's like, I'm like doing things.
Yeah.
I'm grabbing things. I'm going to get there so that I can do these things for you. Why should we not overlook that component in a young man?
Well, I think it's just the active, the initiative. That's what's important. I mean, different guys are going to have different missions, if you will. It's not...
And different earning abilities.
That's right.
All of that. That's not what we're talking about here.
No, but that sense that we're here to live for God and to advance the kingdom, if you will. We're not just here being passive, waiting for life to happen to us, waiting for another handout, you know, waiting for mom to bring more food down to the basement while we play the next video game. We're seeking to honor God, taking responsibility. Part of taking responsibility is going to be supporting a wife. So when I'm looking for a guy for my daughter, I'm wanting to see, all right, I've got a plan to support her physically and to care for her and kids if they come.
John, there's a lot of talk these days about patriarchy. Can we even rightly define that word these days?
Well, I think it's important to define it.
Okay.
Because I think that depending on how you define it is going to depend on whether or not it's a good thing.
Exactly. So what's the patriarchy? That's toxic masculinity. That's being an obnoxious bore. Your wife is at home pregnant in the kitchen barefoot. Okay. That's how some people understand patriarchy. Okay. We wouldn't affirm that.
No.
Okay. So then what is the way that a man should biblically lead his house? It doesn't want to be this, doesn't want to be the passive wimp.
Right. Well, I think you want to set the tone out of your own life, your own walk with God, to where, I mean, really, a big part of spiritual leadership is setting the example. You even see the elder called to be a godly example to the flock, not top-down, heavy-handed leadership in the church, but being a godly example, having godly character. So that's why spiritual leadership starts with your own walk with God. Then you want to take initiative to set the tone for your family. Are we going to be a family that walks with God? You know, to teach your family the scriptures. I think a simple family worship is a great way to do that. Just kind of setting the tone in your family and then taking your family to be a vital part of a healthy church. Mm. Not just showing up, but being involved. And really in all elements of the church family. I really think that spiritual leadership doesn't have to be that complicated or complex. It's basically, I'm walking with God. I'm setting the tone. I'm initiating, hey, let's pray together. Let's go serve this widow in our church that has a need. Don't always be listening for your wife to say, let's do this or that. You be the one to say, let's do this. And then when it comes time for difficult decisions in your family, take responsibility to make the decision. Yes, you're getting input, of course, from your wife. God created your wife to be your helper. That means you need help. That doesn't mean you've got somebody to boss around. That means that she is given to you by the Lord to help you on your mission, to do what God has for you to do, to live for His glory, to support your family, to be a vital part of the church, to see the Lord's work advance in your generation.
So many of those are important components, but the one that I keep thinking about is the involvement in the local church.
Mm-hmm.
How crucial that is for the health of your kids. Because from experience, when the kids were young, we were going through that phase of just trying to find a good church.
Yes.
And we didn't have the internet at the time to, you know, expedite the process. It was Sunday after Sunday, another stinker. Ay, 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 this is going on in this. And we got critical about the church, and I think that got into our kids. And you don't want that. You want kids to love the church, be involved in the church, not judgmental of the church, but actually serve the church. And a lot of guys, myself included, think, we went on Sunday. We're doing church. There's more to doing church with your family than going on Sunday.
Absolutely. Church is not a show that we attend and then we leave. Church is a body. Church is a team, if you will, and we're part of the team. We're not spectators in the crowd watching the show, watching the team on the field. We're actually on the field, building up the body of Christ. We ought to be being equipped to do the work of ministry, speaking God's word to one another in love, meeting needs, assisting and encouraging, holding accountable, all the different things that the Bible commands us to do in our church context. One thing about spiritual leadership in the family, if I'm right, that spiritual leadership starts with the heart of a man who is walking with God, then one of the most important elements of your church is that you are being fed. Some people think, well, I'm being a leader by accommodating the church my kids want to go to because they've got the best programs. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not being fed, then you're not being built up
that
to be the leader.
That is a really good point. I was just in a coffee shop and I was eavesdropping. let's call it what it is. But I could hear these women talking and they were asking, you know, where are you going to church? Well, we tried out this local Baptist church. My husband didn't like it because, you know, it's kind of a rock show, but the kids really love the music and love the program, so that's where we're going. And it's like, that's what you're talking about.
Right.
The kids shouldn't be making the decision because, if you will, the parents have to put the spiritual oxygen mask on themselves first.
That's right.
Because then they feed the kids, and they lead the kids. They're the ones being responsible for the kids. But that's a huge trend these days, that the kids make the decisions about where to go to church.
Absolutely. Yes.
And it's bad.
Yeah. It has terrible effects, because not only are you not being fed, you're surrounded by people not being fed.
Right.
You're surrounded by people who are following the lead of their kids.
Right.
I'm speaking very generally, but
very true. It's what that is. Question, younger man, how do you receive correction? I ask because that is a sign of a man who is either a Nabal or Chacham. Dr. Krotz, your two books, very helpful, Mighty Men, Craftsmen. In this book, wisdom being defined as doing life well, to have chacham, you kind of just, And one of the components of being a wise man is receiving correction. Why did that make one of the chapters as opposed to about 50 other things?
Well, I went through the Proverbs and I really made comparisons between what does the wise life look like and what does the foolish life look like. That made the cut because there's so much in Proverbs about humbly receiving reproof and correction.
Right.
If I was going to summarize and completely put it in my own words, if you're a fool and you're all about how it feels, I don't want anything to do with it. In fact, I'm going to strike back. I don't even like the way you corrected me. Mm-hmm. If you're wise, you receive it. As John MacArthur once said, if they knew what was in my heart, there would be a lot more material to work with.
Right. But that's a hard thing. And I would say maybe even more so for a younger generation who are told to jettison the wisdom of the wise because they're not wise. They're the fools. They're not smart. Don't listen to them. Go get advice from your friends. Solomon's, I think, went through that, and we saw the results of that. So for a young man, one of the best things he can do, find older men and let them download wisdom.
Right.
It'll expedite the godly man process.
Absolutely. And you're not going to like it sometimes, but the Bible says, if you're wise, you receive it.
Yeah.
If you're a fool, you don't.
And we've got to be biblical men. How you find that balance next on Wretched.